Hello, welcome to another edition of Red or Dead. The Liverpool podcast is now going to be your new favourite podcast. For fans, by fans, hardcore, we talk about it all, good, bad and ugly. There's a lot to get through this week. A lot of nerves in our podcast this week, I would say. So I'm here with Ellie and Kassam, as per usual. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, good, Dre. Like you said, a little bit nervous ahead of the Chelsea game, but all in all, pretty good.
You got sound like nervous. A hostage.
I'm not nervous. I'm angry about the last game.
Okay, here we go.
He's ready.
Can't even wait.
So just as a recap, obviously, we beat Leeds, a newly promoted team, who are the champions of their division. So it's champions versus champions. I'm just putting this little caveat here before Kassam goes off. We had a bit of a roller coaster ride. Obviously, for some reason, always the first game of the season is always this roller coaster game. It's never just straightforward, unfortunately. It was just like a bit of boring, but we got all the drama that we wanted. So it's 4-3, last minute penalty by Mo. Kassam, I'm just gonna let you run. What's your view on the game?
So there's two players that won't get any criticism. It's Mo and Robertson. Correct. The rest of them, I think it's fair to rip into all of them. Especially, I tell you, one who's getting away with it is Alisson at the moment in goal. I think he's not made a save that is above average for, I think, the last 6 months. He's not done anything special for a keeper of that price. And especially the way he started as well. Like, all of those three goals they scored, they weren't exactly mistakes by him, but he didn't do anything to get close to saving them. And it also reminds me of when we were watching the Charity Shield as well. We knew he wasn't going to be able to save any of those penalties. We knew it. We even said, get Karius on.
He's not letting it go.
Get Karius on, because there was no way.
Karius.
Wow, he went there.
Karius would have been better in goal for penalties than Alisson at the moment.
All right, so exactly what wasn't you happy about? Was it the defending, or was it the chance making? Or, because attack-wise, I think we looked good. But
we looked all right. We created a few chances, but then it comes back to the other problem, which is Firmino at the moment, who, if you're going to have a front three, yes, it's nice having a central striker who can do all the flicks and all the touches and all the little neat bits and bobs around the penalty area. But you've got to start scoring some goals as well. And he's not anywhere near a striker at the moment. We've got better strikers on the bench, and that's what's really frustrating. Mane hasn't had a great game either. I think Mane obviously had a lot of justification last few seasons about not getting the ball passed to him and all of that. But quite frankly, if you're going to start missing chances like that, Mo should just keep the ball. He should keep the ball and keep taking those shots, because he's going to end up getting 20, 25 goals guaranteed. And the others at the moment aren't going to get anywhere near that.
Yeah, but you saw what happened the last time that Mo solely focused on scoring. It caused a bit of riff. Obviously, we ended up winning the league by a large sum, other fans. But what it is that I don't want us to take a backward step. That's all.
But like Mane and Firmino at that time were informed, they were scoring goals. But at the moment, they're not. And it's not just one game. It's been the last few games. And then I'm going to give Henderson a C+. He gets a small pass. And that's only because
I know where this is going.
And that's only because he wasn't fit. You could tell he wasn't fit at the start of the game. He was trying to work his way into it. And he did. After about 20, 25 minutes, he got into the game. He started controlling it like he normally does. But, I mean, the rest of the midfield, and I'm going to hand it over to the rest of you, because you know what I think about some of those players.
You have to go through it.
Let's hear it. The audience don't know. They want to hear you. They want to hear Kassam the most, the red light of the traffic light. They want to hear what you have to think about our midfield. Go on, tell them. Tell him straight.
So Naby Keita had a poor game. Right?
Correct. I agree. I'll be honest.
He had a poor game.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, Ronaldo had a poor game. Ronaldo has those games where he disappears, and he disappeared again.
Like, ghost Ronaldo. Yeah.
Yeah. Ghost. And I think this is where you start looking at it, and you think you should have made some of those signings. It's not too late. There's still a couple of weeks left of the transfer window. 3 weeks actually. I fear for us if we go into games like this, or even more high-intensity games. I mean, this was Leeds, after all. Yes, they've just been promoted and they've got a good team, but they're not that special, I don't think. And we struggled against them, and at home as well. If we try and play like that against other teams, we're going to get battered.
You know what, Cass? Normally I'd say you're pessimistic, but I have to say on this occasion, I completely and utterly agree with pretty much everything you said. And although it pained me what you said about Alisson, you're right. You're just right. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, the amount of, not even just in the actual games, but even in the friendlies, giving away penalties and, you know, lax mistakes. And, you know, it's just been something's just not quite been right. And it's across, and I'd actually go as far as to say is, I know you mentioned Mo, but in fairness, if we're being fair to the rest of the team, Mo hasn't been great for a while. That was his first really good game in a long time. Let's be honest about that, Cass. Come on.
I completely agree.
The end of last season, he missed a lot. He was selfish and missed. So it's great to see him back. That's like season one Salah. And I think Klopp before the last game made a point that, you know, it's great that he's scoring all the 50 goals he scored. And he goes, but Klopp cares about is the next 50 he scores. And to do that, he's going to need the aggression he had when he first arrived. And I think it's clear to say for all of us that he definitely had that in that game. Is bullying people, actually taking people on, holding people off, and actually just it was just a bit more clinical. Okay, yes, there's only one and two were penalties, but even in that finish, it showed the clinical Salah of season one. But one area you didn't touch on, which I think needs talking about, is our centre-back, is Gomez. I mean, I love the guy, you know, I really did like him, and we asked to pick our teams last week, and I said I'd rather have Matip in if Matip was fit, and I definitely think that at the moment. And it's not to say that Gomez and I don't think he's a very good defender, he is, but he's just going through one of those phases and patches at the moment that I would rather us go for someone that, like Matip, who's a lot more just solid without being overtly flashy. Although having said that about Matip, he started getting a few goals every now and again from corners, so that's helping as well. Whereas Gomez never scores. But aside from that, you know, defending's about defending, and I think that Matip, when he had that run when we won the Champions League, I thought that was the most solid our defence has ever looked, and he was part of that. And that's no disrespect to Gomez, but I think if Matip's fit, I would rather have him in against Chelsea, because man, that was a horror show.
No disrespect, but pure disrespect given to Gomez at the same time.
No, come on, but it's just being honest about where we're at right now. Come on,
All right, but let's take a step back, because I think that, you know, I can't believe I'm being the green light here. So what I think is this: I think that if we look at it, Klopp made sometimes obviously takes risks. I think that effectively it's like kind of, you know, you've got to remember that Henderson and Trent haven't had preseason at all. So this is the first time they've played. Trent had one game against for England, which is, what type of game is that? So he's not match fit in any form of way. So the problem that we've got is that we're kind of carrying two people, and Leeds are fit, ready to go. You know, the adrenaline is up. Their left winger, I can't remember what his name was, you know, the one who ended up scoring the goal, was just like on it the whole time. Very much, you know, again, match fit, ready to go. Touch was perfect. You know, no rustiness whatsoever. I mean, with Trent, you know, when he's not 100%, you shouldn't really play him. I did say before that Gomez should have played on the right hand side, and then you got Matip who played on in the middle, just purely because of the defensive angle. And then you've got to remember as well that Klopp took another decision to rest or take Fabinho out of the side, which just left us completely open the whole time. Again, I'm not, if anyone's like, you know, thinking I'm being blasphemous and saying something bad about Klopp, I'm not saying anything bad about Klopp, but obviously no one's perfect. Sometimes he doesn't make the wrong decisions, in my personal opinion. I think you've got to look at the midfield that we had. Again, people aren't match fit. Like, you know, Genie wasn't match fit. Again, as I mentioned, Henderson's not match fit. Naby has his games that are in and out, but like I think you're asking too much for him to be able to be the attacking link and then run all the way back as well.
Well said.
Firmino is again another person, doesn't seem like he's match fit. Seems like he's just like kind of just getting himself into. I think maybe in the next 2-3 games he'll start getting back to his normal self. You know, Mane don't usually miss those types of opportunities. He's usually quite clinical. If anything, he's our most reliable person when the chips are down.
Definitely.
And Mo was the best player on the pitch, like out of all the teams.
Yeah.
So I've left out Alisson because I don't know if he's having a bit of bad form, because he's that good. And I don't know whether we're being unfair that he's so good that usually, like, he's, you know, you literally just plug and play, don't have to think about him at all. And then he starts to have a little bit of problems, and then the little bit of the problems that makes him just, you know, the same level as other keepers. Like it's like he's the world's worst. Van Dijk, I was quite disappointed in. I think it was more so arrogance than anything else. I think we should, because obviously, you know, Van Dijk's going to start anyway, and I think that's where I think Kassam was right about the competition for places. I grew up in an era where there's always competition for places. You always bought when you was on top. So there's 2 or 3 players who bought in every year, or two, at least 2 players that are brought in every year to be able to challenge, so the others can think, shit, I don't want to lose my place, so everyone steps up. I think Gomez, let's get into the discussion about Gomez and Matip. Let's delve deeper into that. Gomez has been out of form for a little while. I think that it might be too much too soon. I think he's a quality defender, very reliable, but I think that obviously he's human, so he has form dips, and I think he's in a matter of a dip in form. Do you guys think, well, I mean, I know that Ellie has already said so, but, you know, Kassam, do you think that he should be replaced moving forward, not just for the Chelsea game, just given a rest for a while and have to earn his way back in?
He's every time he's come back into the team after a period out, he's done well. It's normally because of an injury that he's been taken out. Matip comes in. They seem to be able to do that quite well and alternate. Obviously, with Van Dijk there as the constant and leading the back line, although Alisson also has to be a part of that. I've heard also that Fabinho is going to be the other option at the back if something happens to the other two, or if he wants to do something a little bit different, which makes sense if the midfield was up to scratch, but they're not. So Fabinho needs to stay in the middle. We don't need to worry about him coming back. So it's between Matip and Gomez for that other spot. I mean, to be honest, I probably wouldn't change it for the Chelsea game.
Okay. I mean, in fairness, it's kind of untested. I mean, I know I said I'd prefer to have Matip in there, but at the same time, we haven't actually, again, this is at least this back four have played together one game, you know, changing a back four. I think you recall the start of last season, actually. We got our back four was getting criticised a lot. They're saying they weren't as good as the season before. Are they pushing up too high and getting caught out by balls over the top all the time? Is it a new tactic? And Klopp was like, no, we're doing the same thing we did last year. It's just it just takes a bit of time to get into their rhythm. And a fair point that that Klopp made after the game is that, look, okay, we had the first goal they scored, both the fullbacks were deep, and the both centre backs were up. And he goes, we never have that. You know, it's very rare you have a position where all four are out of position so badly. That's not us. So he said he put it down to rustiness. So I mean, it could well be the case of should Klopp decide to stick with it. As you said, we got to trust Klopp after everything he's done so far. Klopp. We have our opinions, but we trust Klopp. And if Klopp really thinks that one game was just to get the rustiness out of the system, and let's not forget, we won the game. We actually won the game with 3 points. So, I mean, you know, it's still good news, really. If we played that badly and were that upset and we won the game, I mean, is there really any harm done? Resting us out the way and he said, okay, now you guys get that out of your system. Let's work on what we got wrong and let's get going for Chelsea. And I can also see him doing that as well.
I mean, the first game last season wasn't great either. We won it. We won it quite comprehensively, actually. But there was a lot of rustiness against Norwich in the first half. I remember that game.
Yes.
And we were kind of talking about it and worried about it from then. Obviously, things picked up massively and we just went on that unbelievable run. But yeah, it could just be a case of that first game nerves, first game kind of rustiness. And if you get out of the system, I do think that you need some changes, though, especially in midfield and up front.
Yeah. You would make changes up front?
I mean, I'd definitely make a change in midfield. Fabinho's got to come in. So whether that is...
Agreed.
Whether that is...
I know you're taking out.
Well, no, actually, to be honest, I know Keita plays better with Fabinho in there as well. So it might it might be a case of Wijnaldum resting this one out. Or if he's not 100% fit, Henderson coming on at halftime and not starting the game. I think Fabinho's got to be the definite starter. And then just see who plays better with him. The more interesting one is at the top. I would take Bobby out straight away.
You would take Bobby out and what for who?
Wow, this is the question, isn't it? I want to put Brewster in, but he's not going to do it. So
Minamino, it has to be Minamino. Cass,
it's going to be Minamino. If it was Minamino, I'd play more as a 4-4-2, but I don't think that's going to happen. So Salah through the middle, Minamino and Mane on either side could work. But I think Bobby is just so out of form. He's a passenger at the moment, and the rest are carrying him.
Yeah. I think Minamino's earned the chance. You know, you look at all through pre-season, he was one of our sharpest, despite never really getting to play with our strongest side, really. He always came on not really often even in his strongest position. He's always scoring goals, always creating, always looked our sharpest player. And even in midweek in the closed door game against the Huddersfield B team, where we drew 1-1, he's the one who scored the goal. So, I mean, I just think at the moment, I think you're sending a wrong message if you don't give him a chance. Let's put it that way. I mean, if the guy's doing everything right, he's shown you he can score. He scored for us in the Charity Shield as well. You know, one of our brightest sparks in that game. He's proved it consistently in training. Mm. If anything, just to give Bobby that sort of... I love Bobby. He's one of my favourite players at the club. But every player goes through a slight dip sometimes. And it might just help him, you know, reignite that fire to let him realise he actually does have some kind of competition, because I don't think he feels like he does at the moment.
I mean, the last competitive game that he had, before the season was did he come on against Newcastle? I can't remember. Yeah, he did come on. He came on against Newcastle. But when we played against Chelsea, the Chelsea game, and then you know he played really well the whole game, and then he scored. You know, so I mean, I'm just gonna delve deep and then actually just remind you guys of our start last season. So I forget about the actual results. The performances was up and down, and we won all of these games, thankfully. But if we look at Norwich, the Norwich game 4-1, then that wasn't the best game that we played. But obviously we got the result. Chelsea could have easily beaten us in the Super Cup final, which is the next game.
Yeah.
The Southampton game was a decent game. We started to get back into our rhythm. Arsenal we beat quite easily. Burnley again, so that's when we start to get into form. So I would say that maybe it's like a bit of a slow burner with some of the stuff that we you know, with the performance that we used to. And I remember, obviously, these guys now can actually plan for us because they've had 3 years of these, you know, of the same players. And you know, again, that's what a lot of the fans are wary of, is that, you know, it's easy to plan for if you know exactly what's going to come, but can you stop it? And I think that generally it's no. I think we'll see if we do need to buy on Sunday. I would like to for Minamino to be able to get more of an opportunity, but I don't think in the 4-3-3 formation. I think if it's a 5-3-2, what's it, 4-3-2-1 situation where we had when Mo is like the central striker, he works off of Bobby. I don't think Bobby should be dropped. I think he works well with Bobby and Mane. You know, and we can actually attack them. You know, maybe not for the Chelsea game. I think that we should go again. But obviously, you have Fabinho in, and then I personally would take Ronaldo out, leave Keita in, because I haven't really been impressed with Ronaldo since. I think maybe this situation with the transfer has actually got to him. I don't know. But yeah, no. I mean, what do you guys think about comparing our form last year to this year?
Well, I'd say I would say even that Southampton game, remember, they were kind of all over us at the start. And Mane scored that stunner to get us off the mark. And then Adrian was in goal at this stage and he handed Ingsy that goal, do you remember? And then Firmino scored a great goal to put us 2-1 up. And then remember, Ings should have scored. Do you remember that one that went across the goal on a plate? So we got away with that, let's be honest. What was the game after that? You said the Burnley one.
So after that, we had the game after that was Arsenal.
It was Arsenal, which I think was arguably one of our best. We had the best halves of the season, I thought. Mm. There's one point in the second half when before Salah, you know, turned David Luiz and made, you know, left him dead on the ground pretty much. That half of football, when I saw his play, I thought, this is one of the best teams I've ever seen play football at that stage. That half, the way we tore him apart, because I remember Danny Ceballos, the game before for Arsenal at the Emirates, had one of those games where you thought, wow, you know, he could be the best player in the Premier League. He lit it up. And in that game, you know, Bobby was chopping it, lifting it over his head and volleying it, and he got pulled from the match. That's how much we demoralized him. He got pulled from the game when he was head and shoulders above all the other players in their last match. And after the game, he goes, I didn't understand the level of intensity that this Liverpool team has. He goes, you know, bear in mind, he comes from Real Madrid. You know, he comes from a top team. So the performance was so, so high. And I think from that point onwards, that's when I thought, you know what, we're good, actually. We're good. And then Burnley was a strange game, but we managed to win it. And like as you said, from there, we kind of kicked on. But I'd say at the moment, I'd say it's kind of on par, because even if you go even further back to the West Ham game, which I don't think we actually played that well. I think West Ham were really poor. You know, when we won, was it 4-0 or 5-0? At West Ham? Is it 4-0 at home? I think it was.
Yeah.
Debut. Yeah. Yeah. They were just so poor. We kind of walked around them. But then the one before that was the Watford 3-3, I think. Yeah. And again, we had another topsy-turvy wild defence all over the place. I think the reason I think we start so slowly is I think that Klopp's pre-seasons are notorious for being really heavy on the legs and really working them hard. And he always makes that thing, you know, they need to get the energy back in their legs. And I think maybe it takes a few games for them to kind of get over that sort of exertion from the pre-season to play freely and before the form comes through, almost like a second wind of sorts, you know, because he works them so hard, perhaps, maybe, anyway.
Yeah, I think that there's question marks around, you know, some of the players. I think that, you know, obviously we have to take COVID into consideration. You know, this tight turnaround in games where we feel like there's just been like a week in between seasons. It definitely has affected some members of the team, and it might not just be physically; it might be mentally. So that draining of that drain of having to be on all the time, and you know, the press that we have all the time. Like I saw, for example, who was the team that I saw that was talking about the press? I can't remember now. It might be in Bayern or something like that. But like there was a certain level or a press that... No, actually, sorry, it was Leeds against us, actually. Silly. So Leeds were doing what we do to other people. Obviously, they haven't got the quality that we have to be able to keep the ball. But I think that for us to be able to... You know, I think it all lives or dies by Henderson getting better. And we all agree that he sets the tempo for the team.
Yes, but it can't always be like that, which is why I think we're crying out for something like a Thiago, who is could do what Hendo does, essentially, in a different way, but he could give us that tempo. You know, Hendo sets the tempo with his energy, Thiago sets the tempo with his quality. And I think just having that variance of options, because there's no way that we can't have a team that every time Hendo's injured, we're screwed, because he does get injured a fair bit. I mean, let's be honest. So... yeah, I mean, you're right. I think he is the one that we count on. Milner used to be able to help in that regard, but as this years have gone on, he's not been being quite as effective as he used to be in that regard. But yeah, I agree. Hendo is a must at the moment, and it's a testament to the guy that he's become so integral to the team. In fact, he always was. I think he's just appreciated as that now, whereas before he wasn't recognised.
Cass, do you feel that? And because I've been watching a lot of as the guys know, I watch every single Liverpool podcast and every Liverpool YouTube channel. And there are some... They're all great. They're all our friends. Yeah. But what I was going to say is this, is that for me, I feel that some of the more established channels, there's two in particular, I feel what they do is there's almost like, over positivity, I feel, with some of these channels, where they somewhat mock the people that are panicking, and I don't think that's right. I think that, and tell me if you guys agree with me, I think that there are fans who are worried about staying on top. Like once you get a taste of success, and especially the fact, do remember that we actually didn't get to celebrate it as much as we were telling everyone that it didn't matter. We didn't get to celebrate it in the way that we would think that is memorable. So what I would say is, what the question I'm asking you, do you think it's unreasonable for anyone to think you're being unreasonable or any other fan for worrying at the moment?
it's not panic stations yet, but I think it is wrong to criticize people who are worried about the situation that we're in. I mean, the fact that we haven't signed anyone and other teams are improving around us, we've seen that. Our neighbours have improved. Everton looked good in that game.
They look good in their game.
Yeah, and credit where it's due.
And we could tell by the signings that they made that they were going to be better. It's obvious. And we can also tell by the fact that we haven't made signings that we ain't going to improve that much in the postseason. If anything, we're going to try and stay at that level, which was a very high level, admittedly. But if you want to improve, then you've got to sign players, you've got to do something different, and we haven't done that. So, no, I don't think it's fair to criticise fans who are having a concerning moment at this time.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there, Cass, when you said concern. I think people are calling it worry, but it's actually more concern. You know, it's not from... a lot of Liverpool fans are... I mean, if you're naive enough to think that we don't need to do anything, we've won the league once in 30 years. Let's just remember that, once. You know, and FSG have been around for a while. People like trust FSG. They've been around for a while. We've won the league once, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, and at that, we won so many games last season by one goal. You know, it wasn't like we just blasted teams away like that City team of a couple of seasons back where they just literally destroyed everybody. No, we were winning goals and pure grit, determination and bloody-mindedness and quality at moments, yes. But look, to do that again is going to take some serious doing. And at the end of the day, I think if you're not concerned, then you're actually being quite naive about the club situation. Mm. Klopp a couple of seasons, but maybe even last season said, look, I've only got, you know, four senior centre-backs. We've got three now and two are injury prone. So if you think we don't need another one, then, I mean, if you think we're ready for the season with one pretty much fit centre-back and two Matip and Gomez, who I love, but get injured regularly, and no backup, if you think that's enough to go all in all competitions, then I question your knowledge of football. I mean, we just need backup. And the great thing about Liverpool fans on the main is that all I've seen is very educated. We're not asking for Mbappe. We're not asking for like the Jadon Sanchos. We're well aware of the situation of the pandemic and also the philosophy of Klopp and the philosophy of the way the club operates as a business, and a lot of fans are aware of that. All we're asking for is just certain players and key positions to support the guys who have worked so hard to get us to where we're at, and not just leave them high and dry and ring them again, you know, like they're just, you know, bits of machinery. I mean, the poor front three, I mean, we do give them a bit of stick, and because at the end of the day, you know, we are critiquing the performance, and rightly so, that's what we're doing. But you know, I feel for them because we've got every last drop out of these guys. And you look at Firmino's particularly, his game's all about energy. And he's been doing this for like three seasons now, giving us absolutely everything, every game. And it's no wonder that these guys are starting to feel a bit drained. I mean, it's no wonder that Salah had a slight dip and now he's picking back up again. It's no wonder that, for me, Mane isn't quite as sharp as he's been for the last, arguably, season and a half. Like,
he hasn't had a break.
Non-stop, by the way. Yeah. You know, because they need some help. And if it's just an Ismail Assar, if it's a Thiago, if it's apparently we're looking at this this young Omar Colley, I think, this young centre-back from Sampdoria for about 10 million. If that's what it takes, let's just do those little things to help the squad out, you know, because again, I'll allude to the point, Robbo alongside with Salah last game was our best player. And it's no surprise to me that two games in a trot now, he's put on his best performances of the year pretty much, you know, and it's because he's got competition, you know, and the other guys can just do what they want because they know that they're going to play next week anyway, because there's no one else. So, yeah, to answer your question, I think, yeah, a lot of people we are positive, but we're realistic as well. You know, we're just honest in our assessment of what we see in front of us, and we care about the club, which is why we want these signings.
So I think if we're looking at, let's start looking at the Chelsea team. What did you guys think about their performance against Brighton?
They weren't great either. Let's not give them. Like, they weren't amazing. They weren't. I mean, if we spent that much on Kai Havertz and he played like that, I'd be moaning about that. I'd be going nuts about that.
Wow.
Werner looks good. Werner's got pace. He's gonna get goals. But
I still think I think that was a dive. Personally, I think
it was. It wasn't. It was a dive. It was a dive. Yeah. I'm not hearing otherwise.
I saw that him going through and he started to jump before the keeper even made a move, and all right, okay, I'm not sitting there being a bitter player, but bitter fan, you know, because obviously he didn't come to us, It's just that, you know, these are little things that we need to be able to look out for, because obviously, you know, Alisson comes out real quick. At the moment, Gomez is prone to giving away penalties. So that, you know, I definitely will be having a look at him.
But what I don't think it was like, I mean, it was a dive, but if we got it, I wouldn't complain. As
correct.
And of course. I think he did what a striker does. I think we've seen one of our strikers do that as well. Not just like winning, not like cheating to win a penalty, but just like anticipating someone coming in and just making the most of it.
So cheating.
But okay. I mean, yeah, like I said, the rest of the team wasn't that impressive. I don't think they're going to get Thiago Silva in defence by the time we play them. He's been training with them, but I don't think he's going to be going straight in. So their defence doesn't look great. They're definitely not going to get a new keeper in, which means we've definitely got chances. Another good reason to start Fabinho in the next game is that he can batter the ball, and a few shots coming in on Kepa, I think we've got a chance of getting something off that quite easily. I'm not too worried about them. Looking a little bit further ahead, I think Arsenal are going to be a bigger challenge, but yeah, we can deal with that afterwards.
Don't give them any more gas. Jesus.
Let's sort Chelsea out first.
Going back to the Chelsea game, I was just going to say that I think it says a lot that the best player on the pitch in that game was the player they let go for $3 million to Brighton, that Lamptey, the right back.
Very good.
He looked good.
And that just shows you the kind of business they've done. They let someone of that quality go for $3 million to Brighton, and he's the best player in the park when they've gone and spent like all that money. And it just goes to show you that sometimes, and that's why it made me think more about how Klopp does things, and you know, the kind of players we look at and the way we do our scouting and stuff like that. I thought, okay, yes, all well and good, they have all those stars in the team, and there's no doubt in my mind that they are quality players. I'm not doubting that at all. But at the same time, you know, a good scout is worth their weight in gold, and we have that. You know, we have scouts that can pick out quality diamonds in the rough, and we've done it time and time again. So there is that element, I suppose, of
I don't think the problem at the moment with us is the scouting, because I think we know we can identify quality players and positions where we need players, but it's higher up the chain where they're not putting the money down.
Yeah, okay, 100%. But all I meant was, like, for example, when we come against Chelsea, I just feel like that's why I really hope we win that game, for the sake of doing it the right way in terms of building a team. I just don't want it to be a money ball situation where you just think, you know, the guy with more money always wins. I'm not saying we haven't spent our squad, but obviously we have, and our squad isn't cheap, but I'm just saying that it makes me uncomfortable to think that all you had to do is get a rich owner, like the guy who's going to take over Newcastle, chuck a few hundred million at a squad, and suddenly you can beat the champions. That would make me feel a little bit uncomfortable. So
I mean, yeah, no, Klopp is right when he says that we can't throw money around like Chelsea, and Chelsea fans are getting bitter about it, saying, oh, well, it's just the money that we saved up from Hazard and Morata. But they forget that they spent like 60 million on Morata in the first place, and they sold him for 58. So it's like, it's not money coming out of nowhere. You made a loss on Morata, and you were just spending the money that you got in for him. So you didn't make any money on that. So it is still money that your big boss at the top is putting in. And we haven't got that. So there is a difference, and we're not competing on a level playing field. So I think as long as they understand that, because all Liverpool fans understand it, it's quite straightforward. I think that, yeah, I mean, unless they go in and get a keeper, they're not gonna win anything this year. I think that's quite obvious to me. But it does look like they're going to get a keeper. So as long as it's not before our game, it's all right.
I think what it is with the Chelsea situation is that obviously they had a transfer ban, so they had to save up that money. I think they still bought a couple of players though, from my memory.
They got Pulisic and Kovacic on like loan deals and got them.
Oh yeah, one was on loan, wasn't it? So it's Pulisic before the ban, and then they had a loan. So, but I think what happened is that Abramovich had sold one of his companies and made, you know, in excess of $200 to $300 million profit. So therefore, it's nothing for him to be able to throw $100 million into the team.
He put 258 million in, apparently, recently. He put 258 million to the
Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to look at what you want from your club. Like, I prefer the club to actually be run in a sustainable way, because I'd never want us to go through what we went through with Hicks and Gillette, where we was like fucking embarrassing, when we was almost went bankrupt. Like, I never want us to be put in that position again. So I know it's annoying to be able to see, you know, all this money being thrown around, but I'd rather, being honest, as painful as it is sometimes, I'd rather us do the things that we're doing now. And then, it gives the youngsters an opportunity because, for example, like, you know, look at Trent got his chance, you know. I'm not saying anyone is the same. There's a deaf silence here because I feel, and I'm going to ask a controversial question. Do you guys feel that these the newcomers, the youngsters are on the same level as the batch that brought out Trent?
There's no one on Trent's level, but I don't think that's not a fair comparison. I don't think that's the kind of level you can judge someone on. I think, Curtis Jones came on in the game, did all right, actually. He didn't do much wrong. He got 30 minutes. I don't think he was the worst player on the pitch. That's about as much praise as he gets at the moment. We've said it before, but the one that is on the bench that could do a job, I think, is Brewster, but he's not going to get a chance here.
Yeah, because that's what I said last week. I thought Curtis Jones, the reason I said Curtis Jones is pure, even though I think Brewster is probably the more ready, I just think Curtis Jones was always going to get more time because our front three is pretty much impenetrable in terms of getting into the starting lineup. And then the only space that we seem to rotate the most is midfield. And Curtis, every time he's come on in midfield, he's done okay. And again, I think he was slightly at fault for the goal, actually, the third goal, because he was meant to be marking the guy who scored. But, you know, he'd just come on. He's young. Hopefully, we didn't lose. So that'll be a good lesson, hopefully, for him going forward to get his head on as soon as he gets on the pitch to switch on. Come on. You got to go. But otherwise, he was solid. Like you said, he was definitely not the worst player on the pitch. And then going to Neco Williams again. Okay. Look, guys. No, guys. Come on.
Oh,
guys,
poor Neco.
Guys, come on, guys. Look. Okay, right. Okay. He wasn't great against Newcastle.
He wasn't two games great bad. Two
against
games
against Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't great against Arsenal in the Charity Shield. Wow. No, but he wasn't. Come on, he wasn't.
That's the Charity Shield.
But all I'm saying is that he's been taken out, which is nice. And when he comes back, I expect very much, because do you remember when Trent got absolutely annihilated at Old Trafford?
Yeah, pulled out of a game, yeah.
Yes. And I think that Aneko's kind of getting the kind of same treatment. And I feel that the next time he comes back in, he'll be a different player to the one he is now. Because let's be honest, in moments he looked like a very high quality player. He did, going forward in some moments, especially in the game where he came on as a sub towards the end against the one we battered them after lockdown.
Bournemouth, was it?
Home, when Trent scored the free kick. Palace, was it Palace?
Yeah, Palace or Bournemouth?
Anyway, the one where Trent scored the free kick. And he came on, he looked incredible that game. It was devastating. And I think that when now he's gone out, we'll see a different player when he comes back. Well, I hope so anyway.
Yeah, I'm being honest. I'm not knocking any of the youngsters because I really do think that they've got a bright future ahead. But as a fan... Yeah.
Come on. Oh, come on. Well, the way is
Jordan Ibe's got a bright future in the Championship.
He's coming to join us in Derby. Yeah, apparently, yeah, he's coming to Derby. He was on loan there. He did all right.
I don't know what happened to him. He just didn't want to shoot. That's what it is.
I think his lifestyle.
I tell you what the problem is. I really, really do like Curtis Jones, but there's something about his play right now, because I really do think he could be a quality player for us in the future. Would I plug and play him now? No, I'd rather have Thiago, and I'd rather have Thiago for another two seasons, and then, you know, continue to win and then bring him in, because what I do feel with Curtis is he at the moment, and not picking on him in particular, but he does slow the play down, and if I compare him to the other. Because remember, we've got industrial midfielders. Like, we haven't got people that are going to take on four or five players. And they're skillful, but their job is to get the ball.
Apart from Naby.
Yeah, but even his job is to get the ball, win the ball, and give it to the attackers. That's their job.
Yeah,
you know, if you look at like Fabinho, he's not messing around with it too much. Like, it's maybe two touches, and then he's giving it to Mo, Firmino, or Mane. One of the three. I think that with him, his job, or he's been given a license to be able to try to do something else, and sometimes it slows down the play, and there's the extra flick or extra touch, and it's unnecessary. I do like when I do see him, Harvey Elliott, when he comes on, because he literally just gives and goes, and yes. he's not messing around with the ball too much. So that's the only problem I see with Minamino. I see everything but the finish. And that's what I worry about. And I'm not counting that one goal against Arsenal. Like, you know, I just think for... I know he scored against some B team. There's too much of a drop-off with everyone that's on the bench. You know, bar Matip. You know what I mean?
Okay, take out goals, though. Let's be honest, right? Take out goals. From what you've seen of him, would you agree that he's been one of our best players apart from goals in the just the preseason. Let's just say preseason. From what you've seen, would you agree that he's looked like one of our sharpest players?
He's been the best player in preseason, I'll be honest. Yeah. So I do see a future. I'm not saying that don't play him. I wouldn't play him in this team. I think he should have played rather than Curtis Jones the last game. I was baffled why Curtis Jones was coming on and not Minamino, because I think that would have been a far more comfortable affair. But, you know, would I start him against Chelsea? No. You know, and I just think if we're not going to buy someone to challenge and start, then why are we buying these players?
Yeah, I think, you know what it is, though, and this is the tough thing about the way we do our business. We have to buy players to improve because we can't afford the players that are the quality that we need. It's a simple fact. We can't. The only times we did that is when we had big money in, aka Coutinho moving to Barcelona. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason. Looking back now, that is the only reason we had the money to buy Alisson. The only reason. I thought the club had money.
Yeah, to be fair, in the one season, in the one summer before we sold anyone, then they bought Wijnaldum, they bought in Mane, and then they bought in was Shaq in that one? But they bought in Wijnaldum and yeah,
I hear you, but players to improve, though, players in their mind that could get better, and they have, much better. If Mane was this level, we would never have gotten at that price. But all of our players get more valuable when they come there. A lot of other big clubs buy them. They either stay the same or go down, you know, by the time they've left. With Liverpool, you know that when they're signing a player, they will be more valuable when they leave. Or at least the same, even though they've been there for years, which tells you that they're more valuable because they should have gone down. So I think we just haven't got the money to buy in the caliber of player that is good enough to start for us. So we've got to kind of build them up. Even put into that category, barring injury, I mean, we haven't even mentioned him. And I feel sad for him that we haven't mentioned him, is Oxlade-Chamberlain. Because, you know, I'll tell you something I heard this week, which I thought was actually quite an interesting shout. And it was like, Ox's backup right back. And I thought, interesting, you know, this season. Think about it, though.
But the whole reason he came to us was to play in the middle, not...
No. Look, at the end of the day, Milner didn't come to play for left-back for us, did he?
But Milner was aged out. Milner was a freebie.
It wasn't when he arrived, though, man.
He was a free transfer. Like, we bought Ox in for 30-odd million, 35 million, on the basis that he was coming into the middle.
I hear you, but what I'm trying to say is that Fabinho, we didn't buy him as a centre-back, but when he played there, he's a very good centre-back. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, when we haven't got that kind of money to spend, which it appears we haven't, we have to look at solutions. And, you know, I'm just saying that if that is with our midfield, if we do sign Thiago, we haven't even mentioned him in our conversation, or he hasn't even crossed our mind as being one of the options. I know he's not fit at the moment, but even then, we haven't really brought him into that, because for that very reason, he's not one of the best three. And if we get Thiago, he won't be one of the best four or five. He's after that. So that
I think the main reason we haven't mentioned him is that he's been injured so many times that you can't rely on him. Like, if we could rely on him, he would be in that conversation. But
fully fit. Who's your best three? If everyone is fully fit, no worries. On top form, on like prime form, who's your best three at the moment?
Actually, that's a good question, Dre. Who do you think our best three is when every single one of them are fully fit?
I mean, I would always go with Ronaldo, Hendo, and Fabinho. Easy. Like, I'll plug them in at any time.
I think depending on the game, but I would say, Fabinho and Hendo, definitely. I could see Ox, to be honest, being more progressive, being more of a shot taker. Definitely the form he showed in Europe when he first came in. He probably has had more dynamic games than Ronaldo.
No, it's not that. It's what it is that these guys allow, you know, they provide, you know, serious cover for the defense, and then also they, you know, get the ball really quickly to our front three. I just like the way that I mean, that's how we've won our trophies, to be honest. If you look at, you know, who's been in that lineup more than anything as we've been winning, it's been Ronaldo, Fabinho and Henderson, you know, because, you know, it's a solid midfield. And when I saw them in against Tottenham couldn't breathe. They just couldn't get out, you know, and so that's why I like them. They're my first choice. But I mean, you know, Ox isn't far behind because obviously at least he provides an outside shot threat. Fabinho does now as well. But the drop off after that, you know, Keita is getting there. I think Keita's literally, I think he's adapted now. So he's not too far. When I say drop off, our bench is still better than majority of people's first teams. But it's just a nervous time at the moment. So if anyone's listening, being like, Jesus Christ, you guys are top of the league. You've just won two trophies or three trophies, but you know, in the last 2 years, and you're moaning. And it's not moaning. It's just literally just talking about the actual concerns. I've got to move on to our lovely kit sponsor, sorry, kit maker provider, Nike. I know Cass in particular has a massive gripe with Nike. Now we've been overtaken by Arsenal with a new with kit sales for their shirts. Why do you think that has happened?
Because Arsenal's kit looks quite nice, quite decent, and ours looks like a pile of vomit.
Easy. Okay. See red light. You see this? What I mean? Red light. Okay.
Who's gonna win that filth? Okay, I don't want to see that kit on my players, let alone on myself.
Do you not like any of the all right, take away the lifestyle stuff because they do it somewhat like maybe better than others. Do you not like any kit that they have? The goalkeeper kit, the away kit.
I've warmed to the blue one. I haven't the black third kit. I think we need to see that on the players, but that looks all right as well. But the way we saw it in the Leeds game, the way that red kit looks on our team, it just does not look right. I don't like the shade of red they've got. I don't like the collar design. I don't like the cut of it. I just there's nothing about that kit that I like.
Okay, I'm gonna try and add some optimism to it. No, okay, look, I agree. I'll be honest. I actually didn't mind the red kit on the players. I still don't like the red. I think the red looks a tad cheap, if I'm being honest with you. But let's just go down to the facts. The drop off in the kit sales is 12% on last year's kit sales, right? 12%. Okay. Chelsea's kits are up. And they're above us. So we're now behind Arsenal and Chelsea in kit sales, even though we were top before. Now ask yourself, what have Chelsea done that we haven't? Oh, yeah, they signed players, right? And this is another side to signing players.
Optimism.
The only reason... Yeah, I mean, people are going to want Havertz's name on the back of the shirt. They're going to want Werner's name on the back of the shirt. And on the back of that, so on back of signing players, you sell merch, you sell shirts, right? Which is one of the big parts of it. Now, even if we didn't sign a big name, if we got Thiago, the amount of shirt sales, I guarantee you our shirt sales will fly up with Thiago shirts.
Nah, Thiago's not a shirt name.
He is for the fans that have been crying out for a signing.
The hipsters.
And watched him absolutely dictate the Champions League final, which his team won, by the way. You know, he is a marquee signing, especially for what we've been starved of for the last two seasons, transfer windows as well. So, you know, that for us is big news, and that would drive up our kit sales. So I think the fan center, I think the kit sales is a reflection of, yes, the times, but more importantly, the sentiment of the fans currently towards the situation. You know, when they're happy with the club, clubs fans tend to just go along with anything. You know, yeah, well, we'll let that slide. Yeah, it's a terrible kit, we'll buy it anyway because we want to support the club and all this kind of stuff. At the moment, the fans are feeling a little bit hard done by. We had the fiasco with the furloughing the staff early on. We had a few little things since then. We've had the runoff, the dip of form towards. We didn't break all the records like we hoped we'd break, even though we won the league, which everyone's very happy about. Didn't get to celebrate. And now this whole thing about not signing players, I think the fans are feeling a bit slighted. Not to mention this kit comes out and everyone is all excited. And it's like,
we got knocked out of the Champions League when we should have won that game as well.
Oh yeah. I mean, that was pretty much the beginning of this, of the upset of the fans really. And then we got locked down and we went through all that. So we won the league, but we kind of expected to win the league, I suppose. So it was a high, don't get me wrong, but we were so far ahead. it would have been a disaster if we lost it. So we kind of expected that. And I think there's so many things that happened since then. We kind of knocked the fans a little bit. And we're at the moment, if you look at football Twitter or social media, we're pretty much fair game for everyone. You know what I mean? People are just
coming. Yeah, I do feel like it's a position that a lot of Liverpool fans, especially the younger ones, have never actually been in a position where there's venom and hatred and bitterness and all that stuff towards them. I find it quite strange that obviously we've won what we've won and you know, in the manner that we've won it and conquered all, and we've got some world class players that we've, you know, and a homegrown world class player, which we didn't think we'd see for a long time after Stevie.
Yeah.
And there's not as much optimism as possible. I think that a lot of the fans feel, and tell me if I'm wrong, guys, but I think that a lot of the fans feel that the kits, because they feel like cookie cutter, and I think they feel lied to. And Scousers aren't people who, we're not Scouse, but like, you know, obviously we're hardcore Liverpool fans.
Honorary.
But yeah, honorary Scouse. That's Scouse-like. I think that what we feel is that, like, you know, when you're putting out statements saying that we're going to be getting original kits, I know we touched on this last week, then we're going to hold you to it. And we don't want to see us getting the same. I think our design is the same as Chelsea's design, because they've got the same collar as us.
They've got that back-to-front collar.
Chelsea
away kits. And I noticed that the other day when I was looking at their players, and I was just like, hold a second. Like, what the hell is this about? And in England, the England goalkeeper's kit is the same as Alisson's. And it's just like, so I just feel like I've been, you know, we've been duped personally. But
massively.
And then on top of that, these are the most expensive shirts. So you got two shirts that look exactly the same. Mm. And one is 70 odd quid and then one's 100. So I'm not surprised that players, you know, fans are, you know, not bothering to buy. And then obviously there's a rise, don't forget this, is a rise of fake kits where people, yes, can actually buy it, you know, for you can buy, right, if you can look on certain sites, you can actually buy a fake Liverpool kit, which you really wouldn't be able to tell the difference if two people walking beside each other with it for about 20-30 quid, you know.
And that's the problem. And I think I think this deal will come into its own when the international market starts. We start getting those numbers in, because it's purely because they have more doors open. Yes, there'll be more fakes, but yes, there'll be more legit kit sale opportunities for Nike as well. But what I'm glad is, at least the business, I think it needs to come from a business decision. When fans aren't happy, I think a lot of clubs, I remember when they tried to put the ticket prices up, the fans spoke and they just said, nah, it's not happening. And hopefully Nike going forward will listen to the sentiment of the fans, because, yes, not because, even if they don't care, at least hidden where it hurts, where is the bank balance. And I think the numbers have shown that to go down from the New Balance kit, despite having more doors and more options and more things, just says a lot, really. And I hope...
No, they're unique kits. Like the last three kits from New Balance have been brilliant.
Incredible.
Loved them.
I loved them. They tried. You know what I liked? It wasn't necessarily, they didn't even have to be the best design, but they just tried. You can see that they tried to make us feel special as a club. You know, they understood what it meant to be a Liverpool fan, and they made us feel like, wow, we don't do this for everyone, but we're doing this for you. And that's what we want from Nike. Yes, we know you make kits for everybody else, but in some ways, Brighton have got like an old kit, it looks like, but at least their kit's unique this season. You know what I mean? They've got like a throwback kit, but okay, but at least they had an original kit. You know, all the rest of us so-called big, from Barcelona to us to Spurs, we've all got the same, all same kits pretty much, just a different pattern on them. And it's like, we're not that stupid, Nike. Come on, pretend, you know, give us something. Just give us at least one unique style that we could at least call our own, hang our hats on, which is why I must admit the third kit, like, to be fair, Cass, you called this last time. You called it the European kit.
The black with the red stripes. Yeah, that we'll see that in Europe soon, and we'll get a better idea of it. But yeah, I mean, I think the other disappointing thing about the sales in general is that just falling behind Arsenal is not a good look.
But their kit's nice, though. I must say,
their kits are good. Their kits are good.
I've not seen an Adidas kit that's terrible. Selling well.
Which one?
The Chelsea kits aren't that nice, but they're selling well as well, like you said. So
it's the names, isn't it? Kids just want Havertz on the back.
Yeah, they want a buzzer.
Kids just want Werner on the anymore. Back.
They might want Werner. Yeah. Havertz is shit.
Wait, Not now.
Guys,
come on, Jesus. Man.
They'll come back to haunt us real quick.
I'm gone in quick. I've gone in hard. He's no good. They bought an 80 million lemon.
Can I stop now? Can you, Dre, can you end the podcast now? Edit this bit out, please. Edit this bit out. We don't need
Oh my god.
We don't need
just before we go into our lineup predictions for Sunday. Do you who impressed you guys over the weekend, teams or players? Or in the other games?
For me,
Everton were good. I think Everton looked good.
Strong.
I tell you what, they should sell Richarlison though. They got offered what, 50 million and they turned it down. They should have taken that money and run and got 90. A proper striker.
90.
Oh my days. How have they not? They're going to regret
Who offered that?
Barca, apparently. Because they bought him for 50.
Yeah, you're right, actually. They bought him for a big fee. The chances he's missing, and like, he's not a 25 goal a season striker. And if they got anyone in who could put those numbers up, they would be in a much better position. But apart from him, I think they've got a good lineup. I think they're quite strong.
I'll say it. Like, if I'm being honest, like, if they had Danny Wilson instead of Zaha instead of him, they would be a serious threat. Not to win in the league, but like, definitely, you know, to European places. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Ancelotti just doesn't. He's just such a seasoned veteran. I was worried when I saw him go there, but I thought, they'll hopefully continue to buy stupid or run out of money. Neither's happened. They've bought really smart and they still got the cash.
They don't have the money issue. Their owner is backing them all the way. The amount of money they're spending, money's not going to be an issue. And also, I don't think you're right. Ancelotti's not going to waste money.
Nah.
He's not going to spend a 50 million on Richarlison. He's going to buy a proper striker when he goes into the market.
I think he wants to get rid. He definitely wants to get rid.
He would. If that offer came in now, he'd take it, definitely. Yeah.
Out. I'm surprised he even started. I think when he's got other, I think if he can get someone else in beforehand on loan or something like that, you know, from Germany or Italy or something like that. See you later. I do think
it does worry me a little bit. I'm not looking forward to that game. I just hope by then we fix that. And also, speaking of teams that impressed me, I'm not looking forward to playing Wolves again. They're always a tough game anyway, but Wolves look strong, like sharp again. That Jimenez and Traore, and then they got a couple more Portuguese. Another, I don't know where they keep finding them.
But they spent on like what, 40 million on that kid as well.
Yeah,
Silva. That might be a bit of a stretch, but yeah, they're a good team as well. Arsenal as well look really good. I know we don't want to say that.
I'm not saying that. I'm not going to get that on record.
Arsenal fans, you played against Fulham. You know, relax.
And then bear in mind, look at the goals you scored. Look at the goals you scored. But you should be ashamed of yourselves.
Just relax. What? You know. Yeah,
I'm sorry, I can't give Arsenal the credit.
I'm not giving him no air at all. I mean,
I can tell now, they're your nemesis. My nemesis team is Spurs, because their fans are the mouthiest and they've won nothing.
Actually, you know what? On that.
Although they got Bale in now, right? Rugilon.
Yeah, the guy Manu wanted, which is good. I'm happy because Manu didn't get him. That just makes me happy.
They're not getting Bale in?
No, they're getting them both.
They're getting Bale as well, apparently, yeah.
Cue the surprise look from my face. What I would say is this. Where I think there's going to be a problem is just that the team just looks down and they look sick of Jose already. And then Jose's done his normal pointing the fingers at the team thing. It's just cancerous. I just don't really feel... I feel like it's a Jose show. They're not enjoyable to watch. I think under Pochettino, then they look like really like serious business.
Even under Pochettino, they weren't the most exciting team to watch.
They had moments,
but it always felt like lump it up to Harry Kane, watch him die for a penalty, and then he'll get those numbers out.
I'm glad you noticed that. I'm going to say something very controversial, and it's on record.
Unpopular opinion.
Hear me out, guys. You ready?
Yeah,
Harry Kane dives more than Neymar. Mate,
he dives more in the box. Neymar actually gets fouled.
Neymar actually does get fouled. Kane, if you watch Kane, he's on the floor almost every single time. If it's a defensive situation, he'll go down 100% because he'll win a free kick to get up the pitch. The only time he doesn't really go down is if he's close to the box in a shooting position. He'd rather, because he doesn't really take free kicks. If it's in the box, it goes down because of the penalty. So most of the time, you'll go down. You know, So yeah, so that's my controversial.
I'd rather have Neymar in my team than Harry Kane. I know a lot of England fans aren't gonna appreciate that because they're blind loyalty to the country, but I don't really see what, especially over the weekend, what I feel that, you know, how can they have what's his name, Bergwijn?
Bergwijn on the bench.
Are you having a laugh? Like, that guy is serious. Like, he's the type of player that we would want, like, on the rotation with our players.
We were looking at him, apparently. Very good. A couple of seasons back.
I wish we looked a bit harder.
The bargain as well. 23 million, 24 million.
And there's a player that I'm always campaigning for us to be able to buy. Saint Maximin.
That's Michael. What are you talking about?
I think I'll claim it first.
I disagree with you both.
Well, you still don't rate him, do you?
Nah, man. You see him again. The last game of the season, where was he? You guys went really quiet on him after that game. Be honest, both of you went quiet.
Who's tired?
You're tired, okay. Mate, he did nothing.
You can't say that after that.
Yeah, okay, what did he did nothing, bro. That last game.
He's carried them a lot of the time. Yeah, he's been their best player. He's a very good player.
Contrast that to what Minamino did to us twice in the Champions League. Minamino destroyed us single-handedly both those
games. Yeah, and then he stopped when he joined.
No, he's warming up. Hey, tranquilo. He's on the build-up.
But you know what? A Newcastle as an outfit, I haven't watched Newcastle in ages. And take away that I still don't understand how he's a professional footballer, Andy Carroll. Like, their team looks solid. I think they're gonna surprise a few people. Yeah. I'm gonna put down my early prediction, and they're gonna be the new Wolves. And then
they're not getting up to sixth.
I think that I'm looking at them getting about eighth, between eighth and seventh.
They're a little bit behind Everton. I would say that, but someone like Southampton, for example, I think are going to have a rough season this season. I think they're going to be my surprise one to be troubling the bottom dwellers, I think.
They've lost Højbjerg, he was a good player for them.
He was a good player. They got knocked out of the Mickey Mouse Cup as well today.
He should have stayed where he was, because there can't be much joy playing for Tottenham.
He went for the paycheck.
What's your early unreasonable prediction for surprise package?
Okay, surprise
package. We've got 2 weeks to be able to jump ship out of these teams, by the way.
Okay. Surprise package of the season.
He's going to go for Everton. I know it.
No. I'll be honest. I quite like what I saw at Brighton. I'm going to go Brighton.
Brighton?
Yeah. I quite like what I saw. I know, against Chelsea, they were actually unlucky. They had a few chances they should have scored against Chelsea. The Lamptey cross in the first half where the guy just absolutely boshed the header. And the dunk one when it was 2-1 down where he should have scored as well. So, you know, that's 3-3. I think a lot of people, the reason I'm saying Brighton is for the exact reason you reacted like that. It was for that exact reason. Most people like Brighton, you know. But then when I looked across their team, every position, they play good football. Graham Potter's a great manager. He always goes under the radar how good he is and what he did with that team last season. He always buys well. They've got great defenders. That Ben White's a fantastic player. They've got the Dunk, who's solid. The Ben White from Leeds, you know, who apparently we're looking at for next season, incidentally, which will be interesting.
I'm waiting for him to get down to the one of the signings that's injured again.
You mean okay? We might have to skip that one, but no, Adam Lallana, obviously Lallana, solid player. But they got that.
Oh my god, Adam!
Oh mate, so upsetting. I was gutted for him, but I'm not going to say I didn't see it coming. But anyway, you saw it coming. But anyway, but their team all around, even Mopay up front, they got a couple. Even you know, Lamptey obviously down one wing. They got that guy in the centre, number 17. Is it Arzate or something? A very good, very tidy play on the ball. They got that Bissouma again, very strong, a bit like Moussa Sissoko type player who can carry the ball from defence to attack. Got a bit of skill on him. And they got guys who can finish from both sides. And they got that Andone, he's come back from loan, who's been over, I think, in maybe Italy or something. He actually did well from the season before, a bit more of a Glenn Murray type striker. So I think they're one of those teams that no one's going to talk about, but they'll quietly just do their thing, you know. And I think they can see him finish around ninth or something, which I think would be very good for them.
So, gents, let's look to Chelsea's game against Chelsea at the weekend, the hopefully statement maker. What is your team predictions for that game?
I don't think there's going to be any surprises. I think it'll be exactly the same lineup with Fabinho coming in for Wijnaldum. That'll be the only change.
Okay. You think Keita's going to play?
Yeah, I think Keita, Fabinho and Henderson.
Okay. Wow. I'm surprised you said that, Cass, because as you well know, I'm one of the biggest Naby Keita fans in the world. But I just know what Klopp's like. And I agree with you. I think there'll only be one change, actually. I think it'll be in the midfield. But I think he might actually take out Keita for Fabinho and play. So Fabinho, Wijnaldum, Hendo, I think he'll go for because it's quite solid. But I pray he plays Keita. The reason being, i.e. Henderson, Keita, Fabinho, the reason being, Keita had an absolute fly against Chelsea last time he played them. It was one of the best games he's had in a Liverpool shirt. And I think if you start taking him out of the starting lineup already, you know, I feel for him. He's one of those players that the moment he has a bad game, he's out of the team. Or he doesn't even have a bad game. The moment he has a sort of a 6 out of 10, he's out of the team. And I think he could just do with a run of games where he, even though he's not completely at his top level, just to give him the confidence that he can actually, you know, play with a bit of freedom. Because let's be honest, Wijnaldum's had a lot of fives and still played the next game, you know? But Keita doesn't get that kind of freedom. So I would love to see him, because he did well against Chelsea last time, given another chance.
I'm going to go with, taking... it's nice that you said all those nice things about Keita. Take Keita out.
Come on, man.
And I'll take Keita out, and I'll definitely be playing him earlier in the 60-minute mark because I think Henderson will be blown by then. But I'll put Fabinho back in because we need that protection, definitely from these runs from Pulisic. Is he injured or is
he's
he
injured? He might be back, but unlikely.
So the only so you've got to look at Werner, who comes in from the left hand side. Ziyech is not thankfully fit enough to be able to play yet. But if you're looking at like Mason Mount and people like that, you've got to make sure you stop them early. So I think that Hendo will marshal the right hand side and help out with Trent, and then you've got Wijnaldum who will help out on the left hand side. To stop their new boy, was it Reece Nelson? Is that his name?
Reece James.
Yeah, he's really, really good. Oh, sorry, Reece Nelson's Arsenal, isn't he? So he's a very, very good player. I think that you got they've got a little template that they're kind of copying a little bit. So I think that they're going to block that and then just win the ball back. I think that their defense isn't nowhere near good enough. I don't think they should have spent big on that, to be honest with you. So I would go, same again, but I would obviously just take out Keita and put in Fabinho as protection. Guys, it's been fun. I love the fact that we're challenging the original four, because obviously a lot of these I love the other fan groups and channels and podcasts and all these other things, but like I think we need to just be able to stop drinking the Kool-Aid every 2 seconds and actually, just have real opinions without having been called a hater or you're moaning or you're worrying. I think there's too much, because people getting access to their players, they're afraid to be able to say, their true opinions. And no one's calling anyone shit, because we don't have any, I don't think we do, have any shit players in our squad anymore.
I called Kai Havertz shit, but that's...
You can't do that. Stop, I just that, don't... just, yeah. Please don't.
What was your predictions for the Leeds game? Didn't you say like 5-0?
Me?
Who, yeah. Me?
I said 4-0, but I'm the only one who got the number of goals scored right. So don't come at me.
I said 2-1. I think I was...
Yeah, so you got everything wrong, and you said...
what do you mean everything wrong? I got the goal difference right.
Okay. Is that how we're doing it? All right, fair.
That's more important than like coming up with fictional 4-0s that ain't gonna happen.
We scored four goals.
I said 3-1.
You said 2-0.
Oh.
No, not close.
I got that one damn wrong.
Are we going again?
Oh, we will be going scores? All right, go on. You guys go.
No, you have to go first this time. You hung back last time. I know your game.
Well done, Cass.
All right. I would say I think it's going to be... I can't see them scoring, though. All right, okay, let's say I'm going to go 2-1.
Go on.
Oh, me, okay, right, sorry.
Wow, say, you lot are waiting to drop her out.
Cass is going cold.
Game of chicken, isn't
it? Oh, no, 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 I'll go 3-1 Liverpool.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 1-0 us. I got 1-0 us. I think it will be Salah again, actually.
You don't want us to have a restful Sunday.
Wow.
No, well, I think we'll hold them. I think you're right. I don't think they're going to score. I don't think they're going to trouble us up there. And I think the defenders will actually turn it around and have a solid game.
Oh, they need to after the last time. Honestly, well, I mean, they've been playing lights out for the last like two seasons, especially the season when we almost won it, when we had like a lower. I think we after Man City last season concede the least by like second.
Well, last season, you mean season, you mean the one we got 97 that season?
No, this season. The last season that just our champions.
I'll tell you what, the season before last, we played better than we did last season.
Facts. Yeah, I think we definitely need to fix up the defence, but then obviously our midfield is everything, and that's why I think we got to go back with the Brexit midfield that we have. You know, no frills, just to get the ball, give it back. No fancy tricks and all those other things.
Okay, to it in.
We're gonna see if you're right. Like, okay. You know. All right, let's wrap this up, and we can fingers crossed. We're looking forward to a really good game. Good games over the weekend, and fingers crossed another 3 points for the Reds, guys. Thank you so much for joining again. Cheers, I appreciate your company, and we will go back onto our WhatsApp group and speculate and moan and boot images and all those types of things. Keep on looking out for our podcast. It's on Spotify now, on Google Podcasts, and Deezer, on all other great providers that I haven't named. Thank you guys. Right. Peace.
See you later.
Cheers. Peace.